had a wonderful experience through my coaching career, coaching a lot of good people, a lot of good players, a lot of good coaches, a lot of support staff. But I think it's just time that I step down. I think my wife's okay with it, because she can tell me too. So I think, you know, my problem is to go take that business trip in October to Montana and Huntsville. So I've been trying to go for about 25 years, so I think I might make it this year. So anyway, I'm just happy, and I wish my last 5 years here to be a wonderful program. But it's the worst 5 years stretch record-wise for me I've had in my career. So. But there's a lot of things I had to do with COVID anywhere else either, because of those distractions. So I thought the kids got better as we went every year. Should have got back in semi, but I think the kids this year, that puts back in back semi, which is a good accomplishment. But it just, we're a little bit far behind the top tier of the N4A teams. We just didn't quite know that. Anyway, if anybody has any questions you'd like to ask, story
I looked back over your career, you had the very first run of the year and had ultra success down there. Talk about all that and what that all meant to you.
Well, let me go back just a little bit before that. My first 2 years I was at Todd County, which I don't think they had much success, and we won our district twice. Well, back then, the only way you got in the playoffs was to win your district. So my second year there, we only lost lost two regular season games in Northeast and Fort Knox with Coach Joe Jaggers, who also played for my dad from Caldwell County. And Joe may be the winningest coach in Kentucky. I'm not sure if not, he's one of them. They beat us by a touchdown. So, but both years put you basically at the regional championship game, but both years we had to go play Mayfield. So the first year they came to us, and the second year we went down there, I thought we had a good chance to win, but this guy named Steve Carman ran his punt back, who later became Steve Loveless, who was my D coordinator for years. I wouldn't have hired him if I'd known he was the guy who ran that punt back. So, but that where it started. When I first got to Hopkinsville, it was a struggle. We couldn't quite get over the hump. Back then, again, you had to win your district to get to the playoffs. And then they went to two teams getting in. So I know 1 year we missed the playoffs. We were 7-3 and played Paducah to death the last game of the year, and they won the state championship. But we didn't get the playoffs that year. So once we got to the four-game playoff system, I mean, four teams in, I've never had a team miss the playoffs. I think they started in 93 or 92, something like that. So I've never had a team miss the playoffs. I had two losing seasons, 86, and I'm talking about regular season. I've only had four teams that have not won five games in the regular season, and all four at Hoptown. 86 and 90, and then the first 2 years I came back this time. So other than that, every team I've had is at least won five games every year. But starting about 93, I think, right in there, we started getting really good athletes and good kids. Miguel Merritt was coming on at that time, and Miguel's, the way he handled himself, the way he played, we got that, finally got that last mentality of how to win, never give up, be tough mentally and physically. So we just went on a great run. I think we started in 95, we went 12-1, beat Tim Couch's team 61-0, but got beat in the quarterfinals. We weren't quite disciplined enough. Bowling Green won state championship. But it all started right there. I think we went on about 12 years in Tennessee and about 10 here. I think we got to my team got to semis, I think, 8 or 9 times. The teams we lost to in the semis were St. X in 99, Mayo, Little Mayo in 2000, and Boyle County in 01, 02, 04, and last year. So we've lost a lot of really good teams through that tenure. I thought our talent fell off here the last 2 or 3 years I was here, but we had built up that self-confidence so much in the system here, they didn't know they weren't good. So they just kept playing hard and winning ball games, and we were actually 14-0. Actually 13-0, and we played Bull County my last year here in the quarterfinals, semis, and that was the only game we lost that year. So it was a great run. In Tennessee, I came in to Franklin High School. At that time, Williamson County was fantastic football. There weren't but 3 or 4 teams in the region then, but now they've added another 4 probably. But we and in Rutherford County, Murfreesboro was the other one over, so I think 4 years before I got there, somebody from Williamson County played somebody from Rutherford County in the state championship game every year. So my first year there, Ravenwood's first year seniors, they actually played they played Oak Ridge. So the next 4 years out, so 8 straight years, it was Williamson County versus Rutherford County. This is large school too, like the big school. So I was in a very tough district there. Again, played really good. My first year there, we played Ravenwood. They missed one in double overtime and two in the playoffs, kicked a field goal with 7 seconds to go. And they won the state championship. Nobody came with a touchdown except for us. But we played very hard. But our district was so competitive, and the atmosphere was great. The one thing I see here that's gone backwards is the school spirit, the community involvement. It's just not there anymore. You know, when I went back to Tennessee, it's like going back 30 years. I mean, at Franklin High School, if you were a freshman and went to a football game, you had to stand on the track because you didn't get to sit in the crowd. You had to turn to sophomore. Your sophomore year, your big thing was you finally got to sit down. That's how crowded it was. Every game was like a zoo. I told Coach Stout, one of my guys on my staff, played at Independence, and the most crazy high school thing I've ever been to was the second year I was there. We went to Independence to play 5:30, 40 games, probably 2,000 people in the parking lot. They're throwing water balloons. They're just acting fools. And we got ready to come. We had to come down the hill to the stadium, and they lined the whole 100 yards down through there with people. They were yelling at us. This is the pregame. This ain't even gonna come out for the game. They're yelling at us, screaming at us. A couple of them spit. You know, it was great. But when I played Tennessee, the atmosphere there in Williams County, you can't match it anywhere. It's a fantastic place. We got the state championship in 08, lost to Oakland, the Tennessee Power. They scored with 13 seconds to go, beat us. Had a good chance to play them. Actually, Oakland, who's now probably the premier large school in Tennessee, I was 3-3 against them. At Franco, I was 3-1. The only game we lost was that game, the state championship, and we lost to them twice at Hillsboro when we were a smaller class. So got to play a lot of really good teams down there. At Hillsboro in 2014, we went back to state championship, third year back. Played Knoxville West and got beaten that. The two games I had the best chance to win a state championship in, or my team did, was 97 against Covenant Catholic. It was a -1 wind chill. But we had a huge speed advantage. If you want to stop speed, make it a -1. Those fast guys don't like it, you know. And then the next best one I thought was in 14. We'd gone to Memphis and beat number one ranked team in 5A, 35-14 Ridgeway. And I looked, turned on the tape, Coach Lopez can attest to this. Looked on the tape, and I'm watching Knoxville West. I said, these guys aren't as good as the guys we just beat. So there's Tennessee's got private public. There was 8 games played that weekend. 7 of them were great, and we played in a monsoon for all but 5 minutes at halftime to stop raining. And the winds were about 15 miles an hour, 20 miles an hour sideways down the field. So it definitely wasn't our advantage. We had a lot of fast guys, and they had some fast guys, and we were just better than them. So that's what happened. Probably lost some state championships in the quarterfinals, probably. You know, Bowling Green in 95, we probably could have won. I know in 2001, Bull beat us, returned a fumble back 98 yards and beat us, and they went on to win state championship 42-0. So we've lost a lot of state championships probably in the quarters and semis. When I was at Hillsboro after the state championship year with Independence, Coach Stout's alumni, they won the state championship in 5A, and nobody came in there to touchdown with us. They missed 28-21 in the quarterfinals. So a lot of games or won early state championships, you just don't know it at the time. So, but that was a great run of players for us. When I was in Tennessee, the kids there were very disciplined, it just meant a lot, football meant a lot to them. The biggest problem coming back, we have some kids that bought in here the last 5 years. We don't have enough kids that want to buy in right now. We just got back to the state championship games up at Lexington. You can just tell the teams that are championship teams, the kids are bought in. Every play is important. They're not going to do anything stupid to get their team beat. And it's just a culture that you have to develop. And it's not just about coaching. It's also about community support. It's about little league programs. It's about support from your school board. It's about support from your community. You know, one of the problems I got here is probably four or five times this year, we had events downtown on Friday night. You never had that years ago. Friday night was football night. And now we're competing against events downtown. I came home and we had a volleyball tournament going on. You know, sports never competed. They would never schedule anything to compete against that. So now football is competing against a lot of stuff now and that they didn't used to. So and the sport here is really sparse. It needs to be something done here to try to rebuild that unity within the community and the school and whatever. And it's going to take more than just a coach or whatever. It's going to take a whole family to bring that back. So, and you said you go to play Mayfield, Caldwell, Logan County. They all got it. We just a little smaller school, but they have that support. We just don't right now.
When did you make the decision that you were going to step down and step away from the program as the coach? And what was that process like, trying to decide whether you wanted to go another year or wanted to call it after the end of the season?
Well, I really, after last year, not this year, after the COVID year, I was about to go at that time. I actually said, if I had to go through this again, I'm not going to coach because it was terrible, you know. And you never knew. Literally, I don't know that we had a day of practice where everybody was there. There's always somebody out, maybe your quarterback. So what do you do for practice? Or two offensive linemen or a D lineman. So at that point, I really didn't know. And up to like last spring or so, and then all of a sudden the COVID hit, you know, the vaccines came out and all that. And I said, okay, we're going to be okay. Everything went great to August, and darn, we were right back where we started. And, you know, we had just a lot of kids missing in practice this year too. It was miserable again this year, really. Not as quite as bad as year before, but bad. You know, we're going to go play Logan County, and our best running back, our top running back, one of our best skill players, at 4 o'clock on Friday, our school nurse comes in, they quarantine him because of contact. I mean, at 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, I mean, and the big district game, really, that probably cost us a playoff. You know, we'd beat them for sure. We should have beat them anyway, but, you know, we'd had home field for the playoffs during there. So, and then the next week, they changed the policy where we could test him in or whatever. So it was just tough. And then we played Mayfield with 28 players, and only two had COVID. So all the quarantine stuff is what really was a problem. Literally, I went back to COVID year again, and I just kind of wore out, to tell you the truth about it. So I decided probably a month ago that I was going to do this. So, but anyway, I hope that answers your question.
You mentioned COVID, of course, being one of the strong reasons you are retiring. How about the combining of the high schools and the new school coming in a couple of years? Does that have any bearing, and how do you think that's going to affect athletics in this area?
It didn't have any bearing because I wasn't going to be the coach anyway, so it wasn't going to make any difference at that situation. I did think about staying just coached the last year from Hopkinsville, but then I said it may be 2 years. I know I'm going to stay too. So I went in. This was it. But as far as the new school, I think everybody knows how I felt about that, so we don't need to make another comment, I don't think. So,
okay. How do you think it'll impact athletics? Can you comment on that?
Everybody knows how I feel about that too. kind of beating the dead horse. I think I expressed myself pretty good on that one. So, yeah.
Is there going to be any idea if you have any influence on helping the school board and the school make a decision on a new coach?
Well, I hope to do. Coach Lopez is going to be, let me see what the title is. It's something, Director of Football Operations. I thought it was an NFL team for a while there. He's going to be the interim coach, okay, right now. So, that was my choice by far. You know, he's been with me for 11 years and played for me. And I've told people for years across the state, I've told people in Tennessee, Hopkinsville High School and Christian County High School are the two toughest football coaching jobs anywhere. And it's because of our makeup in our county, our socioeconomics that go on here, culturally, we are a county of haves and have-nots, severely. We've lost a lot of our middle class. When I first started here in the 70s, you know, we had a lot of middle class, a lot of guys, military guys, and all had, everybody worked, a lot of small businesses, you know, that's where middle class comes from, and a lot of industry that paid well. But we just, NAFTA took a lot of the industry out. Walmart's killed the small businesses, all these big places, Amazon. So we've lost a lot of the middle class here. So it's kind of up and down. I personally feel like there's a huge sense of hopelessness, like people just give up here and they don't think they're going to be successful. So they just quit trying. And our kids here just give up too easily. And I think a lot of it is just part of our society here. And it's got to be addressed. I know people want the schools to straighten out their children, but really schools are just a reflection of what's going on in your society, in your culture right here in our county. So what's happening in the schools is what's happening in your county. We only have X amount of time. The rest of the time they're somewhere else. You know, like somebody says, well, how can your kid be undisciplined, da-da-da? I have him 2 hours a day about 5 months a year, so I don't have that much. So what's happening in the schools is a reflection of what's going on in our community, and I think our community needs to take a good look at what's happening, and I think that carries over into what's going on in schools right now. And we just don't have enough kids. They just give up too easily because they don't think they can be successful. And it's a sad situation. It's been happening here for decades, and then just since I came back. But I'm not sure it's not a little worse now than it's been this time around. So, but I like to do what I can to help. I've always tried to help as many people as I can, but I don't know. I think this is a lot bigger than my grade, for sure.
So after 38 years of head coach, what are your plans?
Well, I probably do a little more fishing, a little more hunting, and a little bit more golf.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So maybe a little bit of that, all those things.
Sounds great.
Actually, I've talked to some coaches. You know, we've always wanted to, like, travel around. Like, every Friday, we'll probably pick a high school football game to go to. And then I got another friend. We talked about just taking an RV ride, going, catching a Thursday night college game, a Friday night college game, Saturday night, mm-hmm. and playing golf all the way through for about a week, make a week out of it. So, stuff like that. So, but I'll still be there to support the Tigers, of course. But they'll still be my favorite high school team. Mm-hmm. So.